ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise the Lord. John chapter 11. Let's go back. If I try it, I will go off course. Let me not just go there. John chapter 11, closer than you think. I read this morning from verse 17. And I read from my newly found version, NIRV. So I read, it's a long reading. When Jesus arrived, he found out that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary. They had come to comfort them because their brother was dead. But when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "I wish you had been here. Then my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you anything you ask for." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again. This will happen when people are raised from the dead on the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that you are the one who was supposed to come into the world." After she said this, she went back home. She called her sister Mary to one side to talk to her. "The teacher is here," Martha said, "and is asking of you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet entered the village. He was still at the place where Martha had met him. Some Jews had been comforting Mary in the house. They noticed how quickly she got up and went out, so they followed her. They thought she was going to the tomb to cry there. Mary reached the place where Jesus was. When she saw him, she fell at his feet and she said, "Lord, I wish you had been here. Then my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her crying. He saw that the Jews had come along with her were also crying. His spirit became very sad and he was troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus sobbed. Then the Jews said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "He opened the eyes of the blind man. Couldn't he have kept this man from dying?" Once more, Jesus felt very sad. He came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone in front of the entrance. And he said, "Take away the stone." "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad smell. Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you will see God's glory?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. I said it so that they will believe that you sent me." Then Jesus called in a loud voice. He said, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen. A cloth was around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the clothes he was buried in and let him go." Whatever has held us down up till this time, I believe we will hear the voice of our master today saying, "Loose him, loose her, and let them go." Amen. To fulfill the purposes of God in our own generation. Amen. Closer than you think. The first thing I want to say to everyone in this room, because I know that we are at different phases in our lives. But the first thing I want to say, no matter where you are as at this morning, God did not bring you this far to let you down. God, the God of the universe, the one who uphold all things by the word of his power, did not bring you this far to let you down. And I like to ask or add to that statement again, God will never put you in a position where he mismanages your life. God can never mismanage our lives. So God has a purpose, second thing, has a plan, has a path, has a way of pursuit for our lives, and is committed. I repeat again, God is committed to accomplish what he had promised. I don't know what he has said to you, maybe November, October, December, and even January. I'm saying by the word of the Lord this morning, he is committed to accomplish everything he has spoken over your life. And the third thing I like to say is that there is more ahead of you than you probably can think right now. There is more. There is more. Martha and Mary were faced with a hopeless situation like we read in that story. They had a brother. Jesus was frequent to their house. That's why the Jews can exclaim in some of those people, they were sarcastic about it. Say, see, when Jesus cried, they said, "Oh, the one he loved indeed." And then they switch to say, what the heck? Can this man, if he truly loves him, he has opened blind eyes before, can't he just readily ask this man to come back to life? Jesus wept, not because they were weeping. Jesus wept because he just wanted to show that, I wish my own people know that they have God. I wish they know that they have power over death. I wish they know that I am right on the spot. I wish they know I never come too late. Even though it was regarded that it was 4 days, the man stinks. I don't know what your own situation this morning is. I'm just preaching this message the way the Lord has put it in my heart. It does not matter for how long you have been in that situation. Maybe they have even tagged you with that dead man clothes. Or maybe the situation stinks. The word of the Lord to us as a people this morning, God is closer than you think. God is stepping into that situation. Amen. God is bringing testimony out of that test this morning. In Jesus' precious name. So God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a path. He has a pursuit for our lives. And he's committed to accomplish everything he has promised, as long as you can see it in his word. Because God will never do anything outside his word. Everything he has promised in his word concerning your career, concerning your academic pursuit, concerning your business, is committed to bring it to pass. And the next thing I like to say, it may not be like a well-organized message, but let me just speak by inspiration this morning. In every season in the life of a believer, Jesus is able to do more than you expect. To Martha and Mary, all they were looking for, because the situation is dead enough, dead more than 4 days, they were just looking for consolation. But Jesus stepped in as the resurrection and the life. So whatever it is that is in your hand this morning, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, God is able. He has the ability to do much more than you can ask or think. You know, sometimes in situations of our lives, sometimes we feel that we need to pray more. Prayer is good. Sometimes we feel the kind of stinking situation, we need to increase the intensity of our fasting. That is also good if you are directed. But what I'm saying to you, that when Jesus invariably steps in, you are not going to say because you prayed. You are not going to say because you fasted. Because he will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Praise the Lord. God is never too late, irrespective of how you measure time. God is never too late. God is never too late. Jesus came. In fact, the distance was like some few hours walk. But he came 4 days after. So I say by the word of the Lord this morning, God is never too late. Over that situation, God is never too late. Over that experience that you have prayed and fasted for, God is never too late. You know, there is a way. I mean, it happened to Abraham. God gave him a promise at 75 years old. I'm not saying his ass is going to take that long. But 25 years after, the Bible recorded that Abraham was still strong in faith, giving glory to God. Because he knew that the one who has promised will never fail. He held on to that word for 25 years. Noah, in building the ark, I understand is more than 100 years. So he was faced with ridicule. But what am I saying this morning by the word of the Lord? No matter where you are, please hold on to that which God has said. God is never too late. God is never too late. No matter how you and I measure time. Please, the next thing, we must consistently respond in faith and love to his unsearchable riches in Christ. We must, every one of us, we must consistently respond to his, in faith and in love, to his unsearchable riches in Christ. We must. Don't live as people who lack understanding. Don't. That's the main essence of our faith. If we can do all we have set out to do in our own power, then there is no need for God. And we need to come to that place of understanding. That's why he's God. And that's why we are human beings. That's why he's greater than us. That's why we enjoy the covenant. It's not by works. It's not by struggles. It's not trying to make a living. It's trying to live life as God designed it for us. And we must be people of understanding. He said, my own people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My own people, not everyone. My own people. That's what God says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. I'd like to bring this in. People often wonder why we shout, why we rejoice, why we laugh in the face of trouble. People often wonder it. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical that you are faced with trouble, sometimes tears running down your cheeks, and you are still laughing, you are still joyful, you are still giving glory to God. It does not make sense. It's the other way around. Something good must happen to you before you give praise. But people often wonder. I love the song that we sang, the last song. With our hands lifted up, we will worship and sing. With our hands lifted up, we are worshiping our own King. People wonder why we lift our hands. It doesn't make sense. But hey, this morning, maybe I have quite a bit of answer to you. The reason why we laugh is because we take on the nature of our Father. Number one, calling those things which be not as though they were. That's number one, nature of God. And then humorously, I read in Psalm 2, verse 4, God himself laughs. The creator of the heaven and the earth, he laughs. Psalm 2, verse 4. And he laughs because sometimes when trouble, when pressure of life take hold of us, it's as if he's going to take us out, just like he took Lazarus out. But when Jesus stepped in, Lazarus had an elongated life. I can't remember how many years that he lived after now. And then he passed on. Hey, no matter where you are this morning by the word of the Lord, that is not the end of your life. God is taking you out. The God of heaven is laughing at that situation. So please also learn to laugh. You say, what are we laughing about? Laugh joyfully because God is with you. Laugh joyfully because God is in you. Laugh joyfully because God is for you. If God is for you, no one can be against you. A lot of the time, we have tagged that to be persons. No. What it simply means, no overwhelming situation can overwhelm you. Even when the enemy, the devil himself, come in like a flood, the Spirit of God raised up his standard. That's why we shout. We also shout, Colossians 1:27, Christ in us. Christ in us. Christ in us. Not outside us. In us. That is the hope. The hope that things are going to be resolved. And it's not going to be as long as we think. It's closer than we think. That's why we need to consistently respond to him in love and faith. Why do we shout? Why do we rejoice? Why do we laugh? Romans 14:7. He said, this kingdom that we are in, there are qualities in that kingdom. Romans 14:17, please. Romans 14:17, he said, for the kingdom is beyond eating and drinking, but there are things that are embedded in the kingdom. Number one, right standing with God. Right standing with God. Secondly, peace that comes with that. Peace that will help you to be able to sleep in the midst of the storm. Because you can't be awake and God is also awake. His own job description is that he who keeps you will never sleep nor slumber. So he can be awake and then you are awake. Do you know that worry is a form of pride? Worry simply means you are trying to figure and sort things out in your own way. And as long as you try to figure it out in your own way, in your own terms, there is no faith in that. Worry, it's like a rocking chair. There is movement, but it's not taking you anywhere. Faith is dependence on God, on his faithfulness. One of the qualities of God is that God is holy. Don't think about that word in terms of sin. God is holy means God is fair across board in all way. He's consistent. He's committed. Whatever he says, he keeps to it and he allows it to come to pass in our lives. You can't fault his commitment. You can't fault his faithfulness. That's God being holy. If he says it to you today and you don't do it and you come back tomorrow, he says the same thing. He's holy. He doesn't change his mind. Even when you are dirty, he still says it to you. God is holy because even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is holy. He creates that image, that expectation for us, and we can grow into it. God is holy because he's not looking at you as a perfect being. He looks at you from the eyes of Jesus and all that he did for us. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Why do we shout, rejoice, and laugh? Philippians 1:6. We are confident. We are confident that God, who began what? Is anyone in the house this morning? Do I have testifiers here this morning? God, who began a good work in me, will mature it. Will sit on it. Will ensure that it comes to a place of completion. God doesn't have abandoned projects on his shelf. When God makes his policies, which is his word, he watches over it to perform or to a full of perfection in our lives. I know that many things usually spring up through pains, distraction, dissatisfaction, disappointment to contest the prophetic word. But when we choose to walk by faith, your spirit man is daily energized and cannot be broken. Things contest the prophetic word. I don't know what God has said to you. I just sense in my heart. I sense discouragement. I sense frustration. And I know things throw things up. Lazarus, the only brother of two sisters, probably the provider of that household. And then death came, sudden death. And the hope and the aspirations were dashed. That's why the sisters, they wept. They wept. And sometimes in our life, visions, goal setting, the things that we aspired for, things just didn't work out. And there are tendencies that distraction may come, disappointment may come, frustration may come, but hey, Jesus will step into that situation.
Amen.
And when he steps in, if you read the Bible, when Jesus steps into any situation, when God steps in, the first word you will hear is fear not. You can study the scriptures. When God steps in into any situation, whether Israel, whether his people, whether the first word that you will usually hear is fear not. And I believe in my heart, God is saying that to someone. He's whispering that to someone at this service this morning. Fear not. Fear not. Because, you see, when we are made perfect in the assurance of his law, we will not fear. And when we don't exercise fear, solutions are bound to come. Job had a problem. And for whatever reasons, he gave us an insight that fear is not good. Job 3:25. He said, that which I greatly fear. And you know what Job was doing? He was doing things in advance to say, oh, let me do this, so that I won't lose my children, so that I won't lose my business. And instead of him to focus on the faithfulness of God and his promises, Job shifted his attention And what was the testimony at the end of the day? That which I greatly fear has come up. And we can see that ran in his life for 9 months until God stepped in. He changed his confession somewhere in Job 19. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. He said, well, no matter what happened, even if this body, physical body, is eaten up, I know I will see God. And I'm saying that to someone here this morning. Change your perspective about God. God is interested in your life much more than you yourself are interested in the affairs of your life. The grace of our God, when it's fully activated, is always a game changer. It takes you from the bottom to the top. It moves you all around from the place of obscurity into a place of prominence, from a nobody to somebody. So my prayer for you this month is that you will experience this grace in a greater measure like never before. Whatever it is that you have waited for that seems to delay in its coming, this month, there is divine intervention for you. And I'd like to ask the question this morning, are you tired? Are you? I don't need your answer, but hey, you can say. And sometimes we are tired. We are tired. But I want you to please understand, you can write this down, that for every challenge, there is a part. There are about four P's that I identified there. There is a part. There is a part. And then there is, secondly, there is a process. We are people of faith. So instead of whining, you just know, okay, this has come. So what is the part here? What is the process? What do I need to do? Do I need to change my mindset? Process. Then in the process, there is the third P, there is pain. Pain. But thank God, the last P swallows up the three other P. There is in that same thing, there is the possibilities.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,